Okay, one of the things on the list was Gnevis Das. So I happen to have written a 15-page article on Gnevis Das. I'm not going to read you all 15 pages of my article on Gnevis Das. I'll try to give you the basic Rashi Prakim. I'm going to try to focus on practical examples. I'll give you the basic background and some practical examples. The primary sugya for Gnevis Das is the sugya Maseches Chulin. The sugya Maseches Chulin and Daf Tzadi Dal tells us that Gnevis Das is asur even against a non-Jew, and that way, and that doesn't seem to be subject of machlokas. There are certain ways that Gnevis Das may be even more chamor than Gnevis Mamon, which we're not going to get into right now. But the Gemara says that we don't know. Shmuel never actually said the words that Gnevis Das is asur even to a non-Jew, but there was a story that happened with Shmuel that made us realize that Gnevis Das is asur to a non-Jew. Because Shmuel was riding on a boat once, and when he finished riding on the boat, he told his shamash, "Do me a favor, pay the ferry driver, pay the sailor, whoever, the guy who was driving us." So the shamish went and he paid the ferry driver with a chicken. Apparently that was acceptable. Don't try this at home. But he paid the ferry driver with a chicken. And the point was, look, the rabbi's giving you a chicken. Oh, the rabbi's giving me a chicken. It must be a kosher chicken. Now, it happened to have been a treif chicken that they had no use for anyway. The ferry driver wasn't Jewish. It didn't make a difference. So Shmuel got very upset. And he said, no, you can't give a false impression. He thinks it's a kosher chicken, and it's not a kosher chicken, meaning he thinks you're giving something up of yourself, and you're not really giving anything up, because you couldn't use it anyway. You had to get rid of it anyhow. And Shmuel is very upset. So the Gemara goes on to say other examples of Gnevis Das. That leads us into the sugya of Gnevis Das. And the Gemara gives examples, like when you invite a friend for a meal when you know that there's no way that he's going to come, and you only invite him because you know he can't come. Right? You know that, he's already invited somewhere else, he accepted an invitation, I owe him an invite, might as well get him this time, might as well give him the invite now. Well, that's going to be an example of Gnevis Das. You bring a barrel of wine as a gift, when there's oil at the mouth of the barrel, because it gives a false impression that the barrel is full of oil, and oil is more expensive than wine. So that's Gnevis Das. The Gemara never tells you where in the Torah there is an Isser of Gnevis Das, but the Gemara just assumes that it's Asser. That obviously led the Rishonim to start trying to figure out, well, where does this come from in the Torah? So the Rambam in Hilchos Mechira, Perek Yuches, Halacha Aleph, says that he puts it together with the halachas of Ona'a, right, of price, unfair pricing. And the implication is, Gnevis Das is somehow an outgrowth of Ona'a. The only thing is, it can't be a total outgrowth of Ona'a, because Ona'a is not asur for a non-Jew. Toward a non-Jew, Gnevis Das is. Most mitzvot on the Chavera don't apply to a non-Jew, with the very important exception of stealing. Right, you're not allowed to steal from a non-Jew, you're not allowed to do Gnevis Das to a non-Jew. The Ritva in Maseches Chulin Daf Tzadi Dal says, no, Gnevis Das is a form of Gneva. And it's usher, whether against a Jew or a non-Jew, just like Gneva is usher against a Jew or a non-Jew. Rabbeinu Yonah says that it's part of Midvar Sheker Tircha. That Midvar Sheker Tircha is not only about speaking lies, it's even things that give false impressions. Right, that any sort of sheker you have to be marchik from, even when it's only false impression, and even though the term is midvar sheker tirchak, you're not allowed to deceive anybody, even if you're not going to verbally deceive them. It's just going to be something that in a way that you act that's deceitful, and that's going to give them the wrong impression. There is an exception to the rule. The Gemara over there says that Rav and Rav Safra were once traveling to a town and they saw Marzutra. And when they saw Marzutra, Marzutra assumed that they had come out to greet him. And he said, oh, Shkayach, he didn't have to come out just for me. I appreciate it so much. And Rav Papa said to him that, look, we had no idea you were coming. We only, you know, ran into you by coincidence. Sorry, it wasn't, that wasn't why we were here. And Rav Safra said, look, if we did know you were coming, we would have come anyway, but we didn't know, you know, we would have come to greet you, but we didn't know you were coming. So Rav said to Rav Safra, why did you tell him that? You shouldn't have told him that. It deflates him. The guy was all excited you came to greet him, and then you tell him, nah, we didn't come for you. So the Gemara seems to indicate over there, and this is the way the Rishonim take it, is that Rav Safra says he was concerned about Gnevis Das. Rav says there's no concern of Gnevis Das over here because it was foolish of him to think that we actually came for him in the first place. How would we even know he was coming? There's no way we would have known that. So he was fooling himself. So if he built something up in his own mind, right? Let's say I'm in the hospital because my wife had a baby and I have one of those new daddy bracelets, and there's someone else that happens to be in the hospital. So once I'm there, I go into the other room to visit the other person that I know, and the person says, oh my gosh, you came all the way to the hospital just for me. I appreciate it so much. Well, come on, you know me. You know my wife is pregnant. You see the bracelet. I mean, don't be a moron. Yeah, I'm allowed to. I don't have to correct them in that case. If they're fooling themselves and they put themselves in that situation, if they don't know, they don't really know my wife, and they don't see the bracelet or whatever. So then maybe when I come in, I should set the record straight. I should say, "Oh, my wife just had a baby. I was here visiting anyway. I figured it would be nice if I came in to see you." Better not to let it get to that point where they get their hopes up, and then you right. So and then you have that awkward moment. But that's a major exception to Gneivas Das, is when the guy is fooling himself. There's a sefer I have, I mentioned to you before, called M.S. Kinei, or Mishpatei Hashalom. It's two parts to it. And he has a story there, a shayla that came from a Kollel family in Eretz Yisrael, that this Kollel family had a baby and on Purim, and they named the baby Mordechai. 2 weeks later, they got a note in the mail with a check for $10,000 from a long-lost distant cousin in America, apparently a wealthy cousin, said, "We were so touched that you named the baby after our father, Mordechai. We can't believe it. Thank you so much. Here's a baby gift, a token of our appreciation." So the shayla was, can they keep the money? Can they not keep the money? So Mestama, in that case, the baby was born on Purim. Of course they named the baby Mordechai. Every baby that's born on Purim is named Mordechai. Right? They don't even know these cousins. They didn't even know the father's name was Mordechai. Okay, Al Sada Yosef Tov, you should probably tell them, and you know, they're probably, you know, whether they say keep it, you should say, "Look, we didn't Bekavana, but Hashkacha had it, that it was named after your father." Whatever it is, you should say something. You should probably say something. But Me'ikar Adin, there's room to argue that if someone is fooling themselves, that you're not achrayi to correct that. They gave it Belev Shalim based on a false premise. You didn't present the false premise. Okay, you have to be very careful with these things. It's always, in general, with these kinds of shaylas, always better to be machmir. Always better to be machmir al tzad yosef tov. But practical applications of actual Gneivas Das. When I was a kid growing up in the Five Towns, my father worked in Manhattan, and my father still works in Manhattan, and he would buy a monthly Long Island Railroad train ticket. So any kid who grows up in the Five Towns knows that if you ever want to go into Manhattan with your friends on a Sunday or on a Saturday night, and your father has a monthly ticket, you just take his monthly and you go use it. It says on the back of the monthly ticket, only to be used by the person who purchased it. I think now they put, they have some sort of security on it, right? Is that true? Anyone use it? I think they put like a picture or something on it now. They do something. They have some sort of ID on it. What? A male female? Okay, yeah. Okay. No one could ever get around that one. So Pasha Pshat is that's Gneivas Das. It may not be Gneivas Mamon because you did pay for the ticket, but it's Gneivas Das in terms of presenting myself as being the one who owned the ticket. I've never said it, but it's still going to be Gneivas Das. That l'chora is a major problem, that you're not allowed to do that. Let's say you're negotiating a price for something with somebody. You can't say, "Oh, well, I got another buyer who's offering to pay or whatever," when you don't really have another buyer offering to pay whatever, or even give the impression that you have another buyer. That's Gneivas Das also. You're causing someone to want to pay more based on false information. That's going to be us. So the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvos Los HaSeilam Beis says that performing magic tricks is a form of Gneivas Das, even if you could avoid the Isra of Kishuf or whatever, because you're only using sleight of hand. But he said it could be Gneivas Das when you convince the audience that you're in possession of some sort of power that you don't have. Right? You'll say, come on, any sophisticated audience knows. It's a very popular thing. Shuls have, like, at dinners and stuff, they hire a mentalist. Any sophisticated audience, or people who went to college and graduate school and everything, people are like, "Wow, that guy's got powers." You know, it's usually half the room is split. It's unbelievable. I mean, there are people that mamish, you know, like, buy right into it. It's like, so if you're, the Rambam holds that could be a real issue of Gneivas Das. Store giveaways. The Rambam in Hilchos Mechira says that you're allowed to give out candies to children in your store, even though it's going to cause the kids to come to the store. Meaning the Havamina not to, though, was a Gneivas Das issue. That the Havamina is that the kids think you're giving candies because you're a nice guy. And you're not giving candies because you're a nice guy, you're giving candies because you want the kids to come to your store and buy other stuff. It's good for business. It's an investment in business. But still, that's not Gneivas Das, maybe because the children don't really have enough das to be able to understand the difference, whatever it is, but that's not going to be a problem with Gneivas Das, according to the Rambam. And then the Shulchan Aruch also passes that way. The Shulchan Aruch in Chol Shemishpas in Reish Chav Ches says that you're not allowed to color or paint a product that you're selling to make it look newer than it is. On Rockaway Turnpike, sometimes, they, in the summertime, they sell watermelons cut open. right? So you could see the redness of the watermelon. The only thing is they wrap it in red cellophane, so that you could see the redness of the right. So that would be Gneivas Das. If it makes the watermelon look more red than it really is, and more juicy and more delicious than it really is, that's going to be Aser. If you're selling a lulav, you can't paint it green, right? When it's drying out. The Sefer Chassidim goes so far as say you're not allowed to dye your hair to appear younger for a date. Let's say if a guy is he's graying already and he wants to, now if you're really young, you just have premature graying, so, and you want to look not younger. I had a friend in high school who had white hair, right? So he always dyed his hair when we were in high school. He just didn't want to look like a 50-year-old man, except for when he wanted to get into certain places. He didn't want to look like a 50-year-old man. He wanted to look like a young guy. So if you're doing it not to be gonev das, but adrabah, that people shouldn't get the wrong impression, then Sefer Chassidim says it would be mutter. But if you're doing it for a job, a shidduch, whatever reason, so you have to be careful. There's another issue over there also, liyulashgevah simlas isha, the dyeing hair may be considered a feminine type of thing to do. The most critical issue of gneivas das as it relates to high school and college age students, I remember clearly, in any high school it's a major problem. When I was in YU, it was also a major problem. From what I hear, it still is cheating on exams. The issue of gneivas das with cheating on exams. So Nigros Moshe, Chosh Mishpach El Beis Siman Lamed, was asked about yeshivos that allowed their students to steal the answers to the regents, so that the kids won't have to study so hard for the regents, and they'll be able to spend more time in this medrash, little Torah, to go study. So Rav Moshe, unbelievable, starts the tshuva by saying, first of all, this obviously isn't true. These allegations can't be true, because it's impossible that a yeshiva would ever have such a thing go on, and that B'nai Torah would ever do such a thing. So he said, it must be that the anti-Semites are making up these stories. But it's unclear whether Rav Moshe really believed that, or whether he was just, whether he was being sarcastic or not. He sounds like he's saying it with the way what you hear about Rav Moshe, how able he was and how sincere he was, it sounds like he really means it, like it can't be. And he says, clearly it's at least an issue of Gneivas Das, Rav Moshe says, but it's really more than Gneivas Das, it's Gneivas Mamo. Because grades mean something. When you get better grades, you get into a better graduate school, and when you get into that graduate school, someone else isn't getting into that graduate school. And when you get into a college, someone else isn't. When you get a job, someone else isn't getting that job. But I know that I'm really smart. The yeshiva bachrim, if they knew how much intellectual capacity it takes to learn a Reb Chaim, they would want to hire me even if I flunked all of my college classes. Well, you know what? That's up to them to make that cheshbon. It's not up to you to make that cheshbon. As long as their cheshbon is reasonable, they're making a reasonable cheshbon, and these are normal ways to judge applicants based on their grades, which is a normal, reasonable thing to do. It's not up to a person to make such a cheshbon. And Rav Moshe says, what Bittul Torah? He says, so don't learn secular studies. You don't want to learn secular studies? Don't learn secular studies. Don't get a job. Don't go to college. You don't want to do that? Fine. Because you're eight. But if you're going to do it, then you do it. Then you do it honestly and you do it the right way. So that's Rav Moshe writes. Rav Vazner was also asked by a principal of a girls' school in Tel Aviv who was criticized for not allowing the students to cheat on exams. The principal came to Rav Vazner. All the parents are complaining. I don't allow the students to cheat. It's as if it's some tyrannical, evil principal. So Rav Vazner says that, he says, come on, really? There are parents like that? He couldn't believe it. Then he goes through all the Yisurim that are involved. And he says, Gneivas Das, it's Midvar Sheker Tirchak, it's horrible chinuch, training a person to be deceitful. Rabbi Kamenetsky always gives strong musters. He says, you think it's going to stop after high school? You're going to get in the habit of cheating, and then you're not going to cheat in college, and you're not going to cheat in business, and you're not going to cheat on your wife? It's not something that just stops at a certain point. You get to a point where that just becomes part of who you are. Now, when it comes to cheating on exams, the other side of it is that the teachers and the proctors have an obligation and are being paid to make sure that the kids don't cheat also. And it's their obligation also. They're Gneiv also if they're taking a salary and they're not doing whatever they can to see to it that the kids don't cheat. So that would l'chora be a case of Gneiv Sass. There's a shaila in YU about the Masorah. What if a teacher gives the same test every single year? So Zach Gneiv Sass to study from the old exams. So Shechter at the time told us that it's not Gneiv Sass. The teacher knows he gives the same test every year. And adrab, it's the teacher not doing his job. His job is to make up a new test every year. He knows he gave that test last year. What, the kids aren't going to remember the questions? They can't. They should be allowed to study from previous tests. So he thought that was not going to be a problem of Gneivas Das. It could be. He had another chiddush with Gneivas Das as related to cheating, but it's irrelevant la'alacha because he held technically it wouldn't be Gneivas Das; it would only be Gneivas Mamon. But that was on a totally different cheshbon that I'd rather not say on tape anyway. Yeah.